The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island, and welcome to DEI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. Today's show features returning guest, Lauren Penman. Listeners may recall that Lauren leads an ambitious and exciting initiative to develop what would be characterized as the Autism Nature Trail in New York's stunning Letchworth State Park. Not surprisingly, though, COVID-19 has put outdoor recreation in the spotlight, with some families who are living with autism and related disorders particularly left out of opportunities to get out of the house. Lauren, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dr. Romas. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you could make this time. Why don't we start with a refresher, a little bit about what the Autism Nature Trail really is.
Well, we celebrated an anniversary of sorts on August 1st. It's been 6 years since the idea was hatched.
Wow.
That we needed to craft something specifically for visitors to, in particular, Letchworth State Park, that had accommodations and a design that was going to be friendly to persons on the spectrum. And more than being a sensory garden, the idea was to incorporate activities that improved and built on sensory perception and integration, but at the same time was a safe physically and emotionally place to be, yet took advantage of the great outdoors. And that was the premise behind the project.
Sure. You know, for listeners that may not have been part of that first show, a couple of questions. Where is Letchworth State Park? Where is that? And what kind of activities are we talking about here?
The park itself is located equidistantly between Rochester and Buffalo in western New York State. It's south of both of those cities, so it really is accessible to all of New York State. It's a drive from where you are, but certainly not out of the realm of possibility for visiting. We have many of our visitors that come from Buffalo, Rochester, and Toronto, but a number who come from around the world. It has a reputation of being the Grand Canyon of the East because of the gorge that has been weathered over time. The mighty Genesee River runs right through it. And it's 14,000 pristine acres of beautiful, beautiful state park land. And our trail is nowhere near the gorge. We need to let families know that right away. We are in a very, very safe pine forest a distance away, very close to the new Humphrey Nature Center, mm-hmm. which provides us with the amenities for visitors like parking, including lots of handicap parking, modern restrooms, not the park type restrooms, Wi-Fi, and access to parks police should we ever need them. So we have a good base on which to have this experience in deep nature, but with many of the amenities that our target population will require.
You know, I've never been, but in preparation for our time together, I had to look it up and looked at some of the images of it. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. I mean, it really is stunning. A couple of points that caught my ear. You described some of the way this particular trail is suited both physically and psychologically to people on the spectrum, and I think our listeners and me will be interested in both.
Well, Dr. Temple Grandin, whose name I'm sure your listeners will recognize, was our first advisor, mm-hmm. and she gave us some premises on which we have not strayed. She said to make sure it was in deep nature, that if we wanted the full effects, we had to get out of the spotlight, and people would try to get us to build it closer to populations. She urged us not to, and Letchworth is a little bit off the beaten path, but for good reason, we want people to be out in nature. She said we needed to make it predictable, and that meant that the surface needed to be steady and consistent, a yellow brick road, if you will. It will be made of actually engineered wood fiber. It looks very much like wood chips, wood mulch, but it is much more sturdy. It's much more, it compacts much more nicely. And it's it is ADA compliant. So everything from a wheelchair to a stroller to a walker to just someone maybe not sure-footed will have that safety.
So and it's an actual trail. It's an actual trail. How wide is it?
6 feet in most places, 8 in others, and certainly for social distancing, very appropriate.
Yes.
The trail is a 1 mile loop. Another thing Dr. Grandin told us to consider was having the end be at the beginning. So that when a person's uncertain about what a trail might lead to, could see where they would end up, that it was going to be right where they started, that could be reassuring, not only for persons on the spectrum, but their families and the people who care for them and who worry about them. So those the considerations. The other thing, the predictability, these stations that I mentioned, there are 8 along the 1 mile trail, and each one has a very similar large stone marker to indicate that it's ahead. So you never feel like I'm off the beaten path or I don't know when the next thing is that's coming. And it's a chance to make a decision also to say, okay, I want to go investigate this station, or I just want to stay on the main trail and take a walk in a beautiful deep pine forest.
You know, I'm going to assume that one of the reasons and advantages for that predictability is to kind of allay some of the anxiety that people might feel in being what might be a new environment for many people. But you know, conversely, I'm also thinking that just the very feeling of nature is, for a lot of the people we support, will be actually very soothing. Are you finding that?
Very much so. And we're trying to keep the environment as natural as possible. We don't want a lot of signage in the typical sense. We want it to flow naturally. There will be some interpretive literature. Our staff will certainly have lots of ability to tell the story, but we wanted this to be as natural as possible. So you're not going to find PVC pipe and you're not going to find long signs and beware of anything.
Sure.
It will be very much a nature trail.
You know, I'm curious as to how Dr. Temple Grandin got involved. And from what you've discussed so far, it seems like she was involved from its inception.
She really was. August 1st, I told you, was the date of the idea being hatched. It was October of that same year that I sent a random email to her account at Colorado State University. And within a couple of weeks, I heard from her associate who said, "This is really piqued Dr. Grandin's interest. Can you tell me a little bit more?" I think she was probably vetting me more than she was vetting the idea. Sure. But when we were finished, she said, "I think you'll hear from Dr. Grandin." And 20 minutes later, my cell phone rang and a voice said, "This is Temple Grandin." And we've had several conversations. We've met with her in person once. She's been very forthcoming about that's a bad idea and this is an important idea. And we have taken everything that she has said to heart. And I think she's going to be very pleased with the results.
You know, how fortunate to have this informed by her, of course. And in terms of the impetus for your suggestion or this idea, what was that, Lauren? And do you have a connection, or did you have a connection to the larger issue of autism or autism spectrum disorder before all of this?
My background, I'm a retired educator.
Yes.
And for a number of years, I was a middle school principal. And uh-huh. It's really very hard to be a middle schooler. And if you're a middle schooler on the spectrum, it's just that much harder. Mm-hmm. And in the back of my mind, as much as I certainly hope I tried to make middle school a pleasant experience for all of my students, was always that nagging feeling that there could be something more. And when this opportunity presented itself, this seemed like the something more that had been bugging me.
You know, it's funny. It is funny to me as you talk a little bit about, well, not funny, important actually, how difficult middle school really can be for everybody. It's such an enormous time, physically and emotionally, for transition. I'm assuming that the trail itself, though, is an invitation to every age group.
Every age group and every ability. Probably since we have spoken, the trail is now 100% ADA compliant, not just the main trail, but all of the stations as well. As we talked and built awareness for this trail during our ongoing fundraising, we had a number of other groups who contacted us that said, have you thought about how this would be wonderful for people suffering from anxiety, for persons with post-traumatic stress, who maybe used to love the outdoors, but not so much since they got back from war. And how about people with dementia who can easily get lost without having someone helping them, feeling confidence along the way? And virtually every kind of disability, physical and intellectual that we could think of, we saw the benefit to this trail. So while inclusion was always a goal, suddenly it was the overwhelming barometer for everything that we did. How is every single visitor to this park going to be able to enjoy it? A preschooler to an octogenarian, everywhere in between. And I think we've done it. I think it will be something for everyone. Not everything for everybody, but something along the trail is going to speak to everyone.
The trail really does cast a broad net beyond just the issue of ASD. Clearly it does. It seems to me, though, that the trail itself would invite, let me phrase this differently. What kind of considerations or conditions have to be put in place to be fully ADA compliant?
Well, the surface is the big thing, being able to navigate a home wheelchair. At one point, we looked at essentially their four-wheeler wheelchairs and thought maybe that's one way that we could accommodate. And then we thought, well, no, because not everyone has access to that. We're not going to be able to have a fleet of them at the park. So that was the biggest thing. The other thing is about reach and safety. There are very strict guidelines for what's called fall protection, and all of that has been met. We have a design team that is second to none. I need to give a shout out to Inside Architecture of Perry, New York, and Trowbridge Wolf Michaels Architects in Ithaca, New York, as well as Earth Play in Ithaca. They have been fabulous in the actual design and redesign and re-redesign until we absolutely got it right.
So this really was a work in progress for quite some time.
It has been, yes, it has. And the help along the way, volunteers, and we've had a couple of paid consultants, and I put the word paid in quotation marks because it was just an honorarium. Dr. Amy Laurent has been on the team from the inception too. She's one of the authors of the CERTS model that's used in a lot of schools, communication model, and her associate, Dr. Jacqueline Feedy. They have been on auto dial since the inception. And school groups in our area, special educators, school administrators, OTs, PTs, speech and language pathologists, have donated their expertise and time in making sure that every one of the stations and what happens at the stations and all along the trail, along with materials that go with them, are useful, helpful, and advance our mission.
Lauren, when we last spoke, you know, it was just about to launch. We're all excited about the trail, and then there was COVID. And with COVID came a lot of implications and a lot of adaptations that probably had to be made. So stay with us. My guest is Lauren Penman, and the subject is the Autism Nature Trail.